Welcome to episode 49 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Trey fact of the day. I am an absolutely huge Star Trek nerd. I love Star Trek. I've been listening to Star Trek. Whenever I first married my wife, she thought I was a big goober nerd. And now I noticed for the first time that my wife had actually put Star Trek stuff onto the Netflix queue herself. She just walked in the door and looked at me like she was terrified. But she actually adds Star Trek to the Netflix queues now on her own. Fun little fact about Trey. If you guys can't tell, I don't know, some of you guys have been listening to me for a long time, and y'all have probably heard it in my voice. I have been a little slower, not quite as sharp, not quite as energetic as I normally am. Reason behind that being is, I have not been sleeping a whole lot. Anytime you run a web business, and you want to be a good family man and be around the house and etc., you've got to wait, at least I've had to up until this point, wait till very late in the evening to be able to do things. And, anyway, this last night was one of the first nights in quite a while I was able to get 8 straight, unadulterated hours of sleep, and I feel incredible today. So, back in the saddle feels good. Topic for today, we're going to talk a little bit about empty threats. We're going to talk about empty threats, how the little no-no can be a big no-no in parenting, and we're going to get into some of that in here in just a minute. Before we get into that, let's do some housekeeping, guys. If you will, consider liking me on Facebook or following me on Twitter. Guys, also consider becoming a PTAC member if you feel like you want to support the show at 20 cents an episode. Become a part of the community and helping push this along. Guys, also consider the Contact Us button if you would like to see maybe us get a specific question out there that you've been wondering, if you'd like to hear an answer, or what should I do when, throw those up there, and we'll possibly consider making them a topic if you want us to do that, and we might be able to cover it that way. Guys, also consider signing up for the podcast subscribe. That's in this little right-hand bar over here. All you do is put your name and your email, and you will get updates whenever I post out new material and information. Just consider doing that. I'd really appreciate it. It really helps me out being able to stay in contact with you guys. And guys, also consider listening to us on your mobile through Stitcher, through Apple, on your iTunes account, or on your Kindle device. On this right side, you can connect and click on those and listen and on those different devices. As always, I push for Stitcher right now because they have been so awesome. They're taking such good care of you, and you've actually got the opportunity to be able to win $100 if you'll sign up. We have directions up here at the very top. If you'll look and see Stitcher in the top right-hand bar, you can click on that or go to www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/Stitcher. And then lastly, guys, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, or through our RSS feed. Any of those ways are ways that if you are a part of those community, why don't you click over there? Just come and say hi to me. I'd love to hear from you guys on any of those, and just kind of tell me what's up. Okay, well, guys, with all of that out of the way, let's go ahead and jump into our topic for today of empty threats. Again, this is titled for today, Empty Threats, How the Little No-No Can Turn Into Big No-Nos Later. Empty threats are something that I strongly encourage you to stay away from as parents. They are a big no-no to engage in as parents. Whenever I've watched parents, when I've worked with parents, when I've counseled parents in the past as a caseworker, anytime that I've done those kinds of things, most of the time, parents don't mean to back out of what they're doing. They're not trying to back out. They're not trying to do that. What will typically happen is something goes down that they don't like. Their kid is throwing a fit, whining and fussing, right, or something like that, just for example. And then they get really upset. Maybe they get embarrassed. Maybe they just finally just flat out have enough of it. Maybe they finally realize that they don't need to be taking that as a parent, and so they'll snap, and they'll issue some threat, like, you're grounded, or I'm going to bust your butt, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And then what'll happen is, in any of these cases, and guys, guess what? I'm lumped into this too. I've done this before too. And then what'll happen is they realize, I mean, wanting the best for their kids, they realize that they were too hard on them, they were too harsh about it. And they tell themselves, man, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that. So what they do is, in their mind, in trying to be fair, they go, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to do that because that was too harsh. That was too much. So the parents, when they do this, they really want what is best for their kids. I was watching the other day in Walmart. I'm telling you, Walmart is a parent educator's just dream or nightmare. depending on how you look at it, it could be your best friend or your worst nightmare to watch people. And I'm going to be honest, Walmart has precipitated me in ordering business cards. Not because I'm going to hand them out at Walmart or, you know, give unsolicited, you know, advice or things like that. But I have had people ask me for those. But I tell you, one of those places that's really made me think about doing that is here. So anyway, I was watching a lady the other day in Walmart, and she was sitting there, and the little kid was sitting there, and he kept grabbing a candy bar off the shelf, and she kept saying, "No, you can't have this," and she put it back, and he grabbed it again, "No, you can't have this," and she put it back, and "No, you can't have this," and she put it back, and finally she said, "If you touch that candy bar one more time, then you're going to go home and you're going to get spanking." And he walked over there, and he picked it up like it wasn't nothing, and she grabbed it out of his hand, she set it back down, you know what she did? "If you grab that one more time, I'm going to spank your butt." And he walked right back over there, and he looked her in the face, not even out of defiance. He just picked up the candy bar again, kind of looking at her like, what are you going to do? Personally, as an educator and as a person who really loves to do child developmental stuff, I really believe he was wanting her to set a boundary. But what did she do? She picked him up, and she set it back, and then commenced to just scream at him. Didn't follow through on what she said she was going to do. Now, for any one finger that I point at this lady, I've got three that I am honestly self-evaluating right back at me. I do these kind of things just like everybody else does. The problem is that more often than not, parents set unrealistic goals or consequences for kids. It's things that they would never really back up outside of the heat of the moment. You know, you extract, you take away that anger, that frustration. You remove that upsettedness. And more often than not, these are the parents that would say, like, well, you know, it's really not that big a deal. And then they let it slide. Now, I want to applaud the parent who does that. Because I understand that in most cases, why are they doing that? They're doing it because they've evaluated this wasn't worth it. And I am so proud that parents can do that. The issue is, it robs you of your powers. Just the other day, I told the kids to go clean their room. I was sitting there and I was like, kids, you guys need to go clean your room. And I was working on other parts of the house. I was working. I was staying busy as well. And I walked in and I looked and I noticed that it wasn't done. And I said, kids, you guys need to clean your room. You need to clean your room. And we just kept coming back and we kept coming back and we kept coming back. Finally, I made the statement. I said, listen, guys, if y'all's room is not cleaned up here in a little bit before it's nap time, then you guys are going to get a busted. And they sat in there and they kept playing. And then I got back and there was hardly anything done. And what I noticed was now I was trepidatious to do any kind of corporal punishment because I thought to myself, why is that a big deal? But what had happened was I had set myself up. And that is not what we want to do as parents. I'll be honest, I didn't back it up. I didn't spank them. I think I took something else away. But I robbed myself of a power, and I'll be honest, it took us a little while before we finally got our kids to quit doing this because they had learned from Daddy. And if we don't do this, he's not going to follow through on anything. And we had to change our structure around because we're trying to move away from all spanking completely. Because we believe it's possible. And we've noticed it's possible. And it's all built around that one word that I say at the end of every podcast. Relationship. So I'm trying to move away from that. And but anyway, because I had invalidated my words, my kids had picked up on the mentality, we don't really have to do this. Nobody's really going to make us. We might have to sit through a little bit of lecture from mommy or daddy, but that's all we got to go through. And so instead of actually fixing a problem, I was making it worse. And so what were my kids learning from me? My kids were learning that dad doesn't really mean what he's saying. Dad isn't really going to do what he's saying he's going to do. Mama isn't really going to pack up what she says she's going to pack up. She's not really going to spank me. She's not really going to take this away from me. She might grouch at me and gripe at me a little bit, but that's all I've got to suffer through. Then once I'm through that, no big deal. It's all over. Is that what we want our kids picking up on? My guess is no. That's not what you're wanting. That's not what I'm wanting. That's not what anybody's wanting. Here's kind of the same situation, a little bit slightly different venue. What about the kid who is told to go clean the room? Let's say maybe it's bedtime, and I'm using an example of, this is one of those prototypical examples that I hear from parent to parent to parent to parent, but like I've heard the story of like the kid who's told to go clean the room. They come back in and they issue a warning because it's not done. Then they come and issue another warning, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's bedtime. So the parent goes ahead and bathes the kid and sticks him in bed, and then what does the parent wind up doing? That cleaning that they said they wanted the kid to do. So, I mean, seriously, Think about how easy that would be. If we had a job where we could go there, and then our bosses would gripe at us to get something done, and then we didn't have to do it, and then we got paid, and then we woke up the next morning and they had done it. I mean, seriously, who wouldn't want to cash in on that? And you say, well, Trey, the honest, integritous person, I get it. But the reason why you wouldn't want to do that is because in most cases you've had people that have set boundaries and then enforced them. Whenever we give a kid a consequence that we say we're going to do, and then we do not back that consequence up, kids figure that out quicker than anybody else. Teenagers are really good at this as well, and they will exploit that fact. If they have realized that we are not consistent, if they have realized that our threats are empty, that our threats are vain, that our threats have absolutely nothing that they're really going to do, kids figure that out, and they will exploit the junk out of it. And your kids will do it to you, too. As sweet and as wonderful as your kid may be, if they can recognize that mommy and daddy don't mean it, and they're not going to back it up, they're not going to do it. And that robs you of power as a parent. And I'm not talking about the control freak power, I need to be able to control everything. But there is that element to where as adults, as parents, we are leaders of our households and we need obedience from our kids, in most cases for safety reasons. And whenever you give threats that you do not follow up on, it robs you of that ability to be an authority in your household and actually keeps you from being able to have success. So, we're going to keep this one nice and short today. What do you need to do? You need to sit back and you need to decide what this is. Number one, before you go enforcing it, before you go sticking to your guns on things, number one, you need to decide, is it really worth it? Is the consequence that you're pushing for really that big a deal? Is the issue that you're balking with your children about, is it really that big a deal? Is having their room clean right now and completely spotless a big deal? In some cases, the answer is yes. Some would say right now it's about teaching our kids responsibility. I think that's wonderful. And I think kids need to learn responsibility with things like their room. But there are those days where, is it really a big deal? We've got home late, everybody's tired, they're grumpy, we didn't get a nap today, and normally they clean their room before bed, and I wish they would, and they're kind of resisting me a little bit about doing it, but is it a big deal? Nah, you know, we'll take a nap tonight, and we'll be fine. So stop and really evaluate what things are really worth it, what can you just let go, and then make that decision from there. Some things really are worth pushing. I am saying that loud and clear right now. Some things are worth pushing, some things are not. Figure that out right now, today. Next off, what do we do? Say what you mean what you say. I feel like I'm doing a Dr. Seuss commercial here. Say what you mean what you say. So make sure whenever you're issuing out consequences, watch what you're doing. I've had to learn, because often I'll get reactive with the kids, and all of a sudden they'll be doing something, and I'll just get in, I just, you know, if you keep doing that, and then I'll realize I have nothing, and what comes to my mind is like, you're grounded until you're 80, you know, and so what I have gotten into the habit of doing is I'll say, and if you guys keep doing that, then I'm going to do something that I don't know right now. I mean, I know that sounds funny. Some of you guys out there are chuckling and laughing at that. I'm laughing as I'm thinking about it, but what I'm doing when I'm saying it that way is I'm redirecting myself. I'm recognizing that I'm upset and that I'm frustrated. I'm redrawing my thought processes and I'm giving myself time to think. And sometimes whenever I think about that, I go, it's not that big a deal. And then sometimes I sit down with my wife and we hash out something that's a better idea. So say what you mean, first off. Next off, mean what you say. And if you say that I'm going to do this, you need to be doing it. Or otherwise, don't say it. Shut your mouth. Don't balk it off. Don't blabbity flab. I see so many parents get so mad at their teenagers. Well, they're teens and they fly their mouth off without even thinking. And that whole time, I'm having to restrain myself thinking, where do you think they learned that from? We just assume it's because they're little jerk teenagers. You know, bull. In most cases, it ain't because they're teenagers. It's because they saw their parents do it. You're grounded until you're 50. I'm sorry. That's one of the funniest ones to me. And I'm laughing at myself as well. But again, make sure that you mean what you say. If you're saying that you're going to do something, you better mean it. And you better follow through, even if it's uncomfortable. Next up, and then last, and most importantly, back it up and follow through. When you say those things, back it up and follow through. I remember watching so many parents who would ground their kids. Like, I had a friend in high school, and he would get in trouble, and his mom would ground him from driving. But he went to school a very, very long ways away, and what he would do was she would still give him the car keys, and he would drive, you know, him and his brothers and sisters to school. And then he'd just go drive around like normal during, you know, in between school breaks or after school. And nothing changed. There was no real consequence there. And she was a stay-at-home mom, and the only reason this was happening was because she didn't want to have to take the time to drive your kid in. Remember, you may have to take some extra time to back it up and to follow through. I've had to do that before as well. I've said things like, you know, because you did that, buddy, because you wasted your time to clean your room, then you cannot play on the Wii today. Well, I like it when my kids want to play on the Wii because it's that little bit of time that I can work on, you know, writing some session notes for these podcasts or work on cleaning some dishes without having a kid tapping me, dad, you know, all the time. I like that time when they're playing Wii. But sometimes when I say, you can't do your Wii today, I have to follow through with it and then deal with the consequences on my end of what that's going to mean. But I just have to remind myself, a little bit of hard now is going to save me a lot of hard later. And then the other things, guys, you may have to repeat yourself multiple times. You may have to repeat what you're doing over and over and over. You know, you may do it, and then they go ahead and do it, and you may have to repeat it. You may say, you know, you need to go brush your teeth or something. And then they just keep doing what they're doing. Just, hey, you need to go brush your teeth. And they don't go and do it. And then you say, if you don't take you need to go brush your teeth right now. You've got a choice to do it this way or that way. And they may not do it. You may actually have to physically get up and be a part of them doing it. You may have to drag your little happy booties in there and get them to brush their teeth. That is okay. Remember, you want to be firm with your kids. If you're saying, well, what's the difference? Go check it. Do a search up here in this browser bar and search firmness or firm with your kids. And you'll see the podcast where we talk about firm. Remember, firm is being unbending but flexible. We're not talking about being hard. But being unwavering in what you're saying and what you're believing, being flexible with it. Be firm with them. Be firm with them physically. Pick them up. Guide them in there. Don't squeeze their arm till it hurts. Don't try to crush them. Don't break their hands. Don't drag them and whip them and flop them down. Don't throw them. But be firm and say, we're going to go do that. And then take them in there. And then give them the toothbrush and have them brush their teeth. Those kinds of things. So remember, you may have to do this over and over and over. You may put a kid in timeout. Say, well, if you do this, you're going to go into timeout. And then you put them in timeout and they get up. You may have to keep putting them back. But be consistent, be firm, follow through on what you say you're going to do, say what you mean what you say. And most importantly, make sure that what you're fighting for is really a big deal, a really big deal in the long run. Well, guys, that is all that we have for today. As always, I want to say thank you for joining us. Consider sharing this episode on Facebook and Twitter. I've made it super flipping easy for you guys to do that. Just click on the like button and or click on the retweet button, and it'll put it on your Twitter and your Facebook. Guys, also consider downloading Stitcher and listening to it through that. It's a really super easy way to do it. And also, guys, consider becoming a PTAC member to help support the show. Guys, I just want to say thank you. As always, I cannot tell you guys how much I appreciate you and how much I love you guys. Thank y'all for listening. You guys have been what keeps me going. And, guys, you guys have a good week. Thank you for joining FPN as we hope you guys work with your tough kids. And even those that aren't, we will see you guys tomorrow at our next episode.